this shiur is meant to introduce and perhaps define the concept of Cheskas Gimel Shonim. We know that if the karka belonged to Reuven, we'll call Reuven the Marakama, and Shimon is now living on the karka. Shimon, if he lives there for 3 years, he has a Cheskas Gimel Shonim. And therefore he's believed to say that he bought the karka from Reuven. What does he have to do there for 3 years? So he's got to do what a normal person would do if they own the field. He's got to thresh, he's got to sow the field, he's got to plant the field, he's got to harvest the field, he has to market his produce. He has to go through all the stages that are typical of a person who's eating his own field and who's benefiting as much as he can from the field. Once he's established his chazakah, as we said, he's believed with his claim that he bought the field. Where's your shtar? So the Gemara explains at the beginning of Chesk Sabbatim on Daf Chav Tes that a person is expected to hold on to a shtar 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and after 3 years he didn't hear any mechav on the part of the Marakama, so he was no longer careful with his shtar. So that's Cheskas Gimel Shon. The Gemara, in a number of sugyas throughout the perek, addresses the question of a strange kind of chazak, an unusual chazak. So let's go through some of those cases inside. You'll see it on the page that I gave you. Rabbeinu Gershom, at the very beginning of Chesk Sabbatim, speaks about the halacha of miyom liyom, which means that the machzik has to be there for 3 years consecutively, not even leaving out a day. Says Rabbeinu Gershom, Cheskasam Gimel Shonim Miyom Liyom, Dechol Hani Osim Shimush Miyom Liyom, any karka, or what has the status of karka, which can produce and can be enjoyed and benefited from on a daily basis, Imitzik Bahem Shol Shonim Miyom Liyom, V'achkach Ma'ar Alem Shum Odom Machzikin Luhu Biyada Machzik Mishum Hochi Be'ina Miyom Liyom Kedesh Lo Yuchal Kedesh Lo Yochol Liton Ma'arer Ani Bosi L'Shom Lo Re'isiv Shoyim Mishtamish Bo Lefichach Lo Machisi. Says the Rabbeinu Gershom that the Chazaka has to prove bailus. How does the Chazaka prove bailus? Because the Ma'arer should have made a Macha. However, if the Ma'arer has some sort of logical excuse, he can justify why he didn't make a Macha. In this case, he didn't find the Machzik in his house. Then the Chazaka falls off. It's no longer Raya, because the reason why I didn't make a Macha is justifiable. So we emphasize the words Lefichach Lo Machisi. Basically, I want to demonstrate that there's a pattern here that repeats itself in the Rishonim, and the Rishonim are always using the same approach. Why isn't the Chazaka meaningful in all these unusual cases? Because Lefichach Lo Machisi. That's why I didn't make a Macha. So that's number one. So that's why you need Shleimus Miyom Liyom. Case number two is a case of Mefuzarim. This is a sugya on Daf Chavtes. The Gemara says in the name of Huna, it's about halfway down on Daf Chavtes, on the Aleph, if you have the Masechta. Omer Avhuna, Shalosh Shonim Sha'amru, Hu Sha'achlon Ritzufos. If he eats it a year here and a year there, you know, he comes on years 1, 3, and 5, that's Mufuzaros. That's not a Chazaka. He has to be there with Tzufos. The Rashbam says the following. Sha'achlan Ritzufos. Aval ime nicha shana shnia. V'akach ochlo shtei shonim shlishis reviv. So in this case he ate years 1, 3, and 5. 1, 3, and 4, excuse me. Motzi Omar Balasoda. we can justify the silence, the absence of a protest, the mechah on behalf of, on the part of the Marakam, the Maharia. Haidelo mechailecha, why didn't I make this mechah? Haidu mishum di ovrisla shana shnia. It's a slightly different version than Rabbeinu Gershon that we saw before. It's not that he came on the second year and he didn't find anyone there. The sadeh was empty. According to the description of the Rashbam here on Daf Chav Tes, he might have figured out why he didn't find the Machzik there in the second year. What was the Machzik doing with the land on the second year? Anybody? What did he say? Yeah, but what was the from an agricultural point of view, David? What was he trying to gain here? That's called Movris law. What does he do? Craig, he leaves a fallow. So it could be that he's around. You know, it's obvious in the field that he's still making himself a bialim there. But unless, as we'll see soon later on, unless it's a minig in that place to leave it on the second year fallow, which is called near, then this is not the normal way you do a chazak. Again, if that's the normal way, that's something else. But if it's abnormal, it's not expected, then, says the Rashbam, there's no chazak. Why is there no chazak? Because once again, the Marakama has a justification why he didn't make a mecha. The Rashbam gets very dramatic here. Hai delo mechailecha, why didn't I make a mecha? That's unusual for you to leave it fallow on the second year. Is Golis Adaite, you've revealed, you've demonstrated, it's not really yours. The Hilkach Lozarato. So had you been the Bailim, then you would have exploited the Karka year after year without leaving, in this case, the second year fallow. But once again, I just want to drive home this point, and there's a certain consistency in which the Rishonim repeat time after time that all these chazakos fall short of the mark because haidelo mechailecha. There's an explanation, there's a justification for the Marakama's shtika and for the fact that there was no mecha. Now we have a sugya called Shir Ba Beis Rova. That also is here on Daf Chav Tes. You'll see it here. I think it's the third major paragraph on your page. Omar Rava, Achla Kula Chutzmi Beis Rova, Kana Kula Chutzmi Beis Rova. So if the Machzik left out a certain circumscribed area, call it a Beis Rova, and he didn't enjoy it, he didn't exploit it, then although his chazaka is operative with regard to that part of the field that he did do a chazaka on, but that which he left out, Omar Avhuna, Bered Rabbi Yishula Amaran, Ela de Barzria he. Meaning, that base rova that he forfeits, and why is his chazaka invalid, is because that base rova was Barzria. He could have easily have planted it. There's nothing inherently deficient about that particular area of the Beis Rova that he left out of his chazaka. He should have therefore exploited it. If he didn't, then he forfeits his chazaka on that Beis Rova, on that Beis Rova that's a Baris Rova. And once again, the Rashbam, in a very consistent sort of way, says the following. He says, the Baris Rova he, if it's really yours, why didn't you plant there? And therefore, I didn't make a mecha. So once again, the bottom line is we're looking for all sorts of explanations in the mind, or justifications, going through the mindset of the Marakama, of the Ma'ariya, why he didn't make a mecha. Now, we can find another case of an unusual chazaka on Daf Lamed Vav. This is a very interesting sugya on Daf Lamed Vav, and the question is how to interpret this sugya. The Gemara says as follows: Om Rabbi Yehuda, Haiman di Achzik Miguda da Arudi Ulabar. In other words, there was a field, and the owner of the field put up a fence on the corners of the field, but he left a certain segment of his karka on the other side of the fence. And why did he do so? Because this field borders on the yar, on the forest. So the animals are coming out from the forest and they threaten to eat up all his fruit, all his grains, whatever he plants there. And therefore he leaves an area on the other side of the fence, sort of like a decoy for the benefit of the animals. This is not an ASP, you know, it's not that he's in favor of animal rights here. He's just trying to basically protect his own financial interests. So now somebody comes along, makes a chazok on that piece of land that's milabar, that's on the other side of the fence. Lo avi chazoka. My timer. What's deficient about this chazoka? The Gemara seems to assume that at least on that area he did a perfectly good classical normal chazoka. Meimar Omar, because he could say, who's Meimar Omar referring to?
The Baal Sadeh,
the Marakamah. We're going again, as we always do, into the mindset of the Marakamah to try to figure out why he was very laid back about it and silent. He didn't make the Mechah. Omar called his Zora Nami Arudi Achlile. Whatever I would have planted there, again, I'm not, we'll get to the Ritva later, but at least in Pashut Pshat, whatever I would have planted there would have gotten eaten by, anyway, by whom? By the Arudi. So Rashbam explains. He says, Chayas HaSodeh Shebos V'Ochos HaZroim Shebektsos HaSodeh V'Yesh Osim Kiros V'Gojim HaSodeh Menichim Kar Kachutz L'Kir Ma'at V'Sodos HaSmuchos L'Yar U'Mashlichim Shom Zera. They'll even throw the Zera there. Mashlichim, it's not a normal kind of plant. You know, it doesn't do it so organized in rows. It doesn't have to be so sophisticated. It'll sort of like almost grow wild. I mean, he's planting, but it's bos hachayos v'yokososan. And therefore, since they're satiated, v'enom nichnosos b'soda achshav. So now they're full. They don't storm the gates. They don't come into my field. Yeah, in ba there's a gear saying in ba adam v'hichzik b'yoso kakachutz l'gader ena chazoka. Why not? Again, what we anticipate here is that it give me some explanation, some justification why the Marakama did not make a mecha. And sure enough, that's what the Rashbam offers us. He says, the kevon, the achlom, the kevon, the cholmat is zora, bahu karka, arudi achlile. Anything that's growing there on the other side of the fence is going to be eaten anyway, consumed by the animals. Is lo ichpas le limchos. I didn't have any interest in making mecha here. The Rashbam then adds another point here, which I'm not sure why he does so. I don't know if we'll get back to this. It's not for us now, but just make a note of it. The lo achzik yidem achzke inshi. In any event, the bottom line is that the Marakama doesn't make a mecha simply because this is not your classical chazaka. The chazaka doesn't fit the ideal pattern of a chazok, l'fichach lo avi chazok. Then the Gemara goes on to the case of Orla. The Omer Rabbi Yehuda, another statement of an unusual kind of chazok in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Ochla Orla, ain't a chazok. So the Rashbam once again, and again the consistency is just wonderful here. You know, we love when Rishonim are consistent. Achla Arla, it makes life easier for Achla Arla, Achas Min HaSholos Shonim, or and Kolshkin, if they were all three, as we'll soon see. Hav Yishnas Arla, Eina Chazaka, Delo Ichpas Leila Bala Sade, Vishnas Arla, Ulekachlo Micha. Once again, why did he make a Macha? Because he couldn't care less. It's a year of Arla. What do you do with Paris Arla? Do you feed it to your dog?
No,
because Arla is Isuria No, it's Ton Strefa. So what are you gonna benefit by? The Marakama has no vested interest here to make him a Macha because he doesn't lose anything. Good? And the Gemara continues. In this case, there's a statement by Rav Yosef. Oh, Rav Yosef, Ochla Shachas, Lo Havi Chazoka. The Rashbam says, Shalohim tinat shetigdal atvul gimel shanim katzrak shishachas. He cuts it down before it develops, before it matures and ripens on the field. So what can you do with shachas? It's going like alfalfa. You know, you feed it to the you feed it to your animals. Yeah, but again, if you would market it on the, you know, after it grew to its full, it's after it ripened on the field, get a lot more for it. Machal behema. Ein chazaka. Once again, the Rashbam has a little flair over here. He dramatized the shamit v'yachil. It's like he, you know, goes in and out of the field. You know, he skittles in and skittles out. You know, the Rishonim here, the Yad Ramah, and others say it looks like a gazlan. You know, he's cutting it down before anyone can catch him. It's an unusual kind of chazak. It manifests itself in a particular, peculiar way. Lefichach, says the Rashbam, as you can guess, lo chashash ze limchos bo. So therefore, he didn't even bother making a mecha. And so too, in the next Gemara, Omar Rav Nachman, tafticha lo avi chazaka. The Rashbam is a long description of tafticha here. It's a lower grade karka. It's full of cracks. It doesn't produce fruit. And therefore, says the Rashbam, mipnei rasa lo hikpid limchos. He didn't bother making a mecha. So in all these unusual kinds of chazakas, we'll call them grade B, you know, inferior chazakas, the Marakam had no vested interest or nothing that moved him to make the mecha. And therefore, the whole chazaka falls apart, because chazaka is predicated on the fact that the Marakama should have made a mecha and he didn't. But if you have another reason why he didn't make a mecha, then that's okay.
Just wondering, in those cases, is this based in Taninim light, or does it depend entirely upon the Taninim?
So that's going to be a machlokas Rishonim we'll get to, I think, in a few minutes. Whether or not there's halach of Tainina on behalf of the Marakam if he didn't put forward a Taina. The address for that case, I think, is back on Daf Chof Tess in the Sugya Ritzufin, because there, if I remember correctly, the question is, if he wasn't there at night, you know, let's say, or Ches Sabbatim, and he had to be there at night, and the Edim don't know if he was there at night. So if the Marakam says, hey, I came at night and I didn't find you, you weren't there at night, then clearly, you know, the machzik has the responsibility to bring Eidim. But what happens if the Marakama didn't put forth that claim? Is there a loch of Tainin? That's going to be a major machlokas, Rishonim, which probably should apply here on Daf Lamed Vav.
It seems to me that what's really important concerning these chazakas is the kindness that each claimant makes.
All right, well, we'll see about that. Right now, I'm just in the introductory stage. You know, I have X amount of minutes here to my, you know, it's not often that Rabbi Shmulevitz invites me to say a shiur here in this, you know, I can feel his presence here in the room. So we, you know, we have to count our words over here. Also, I don't want to keep you too late. You know, so let's see what we can do. So in all these cases, now we have one last case, I think, on your list, if I'm not mistaken. And that's the case of the next part of Rav Nachman. So the first part of Rav Nachman is that the field is not in good shape. You know, this field doesn't produce much. The Rashbam calls it lira'asa. There's something, it's a mipnei ra'asa. But then you have another case, you have apik kura, the aisle kura. You know, this is a kind of a management calculation. Obviously, from perspective of finance, it doesn't make sense to invest more than what your outcome is, you know, what your what the produce is, and even if it's exactly identical, it doesn't really make sense to spend the same amount of money that you get out of it. So, apik kura v'ayel kura. The Rashbam explains zara kura v'ayel kura, leakey bo kura. So, all he got is exactly what he put in. So, what you know, mahoilu chachamim, what did you gain? Is that not a chazaka? And the Rashbam, once again, you know, we're always giving the Rashbam 2 points for coming in consistently in the clutch. The leka harvach, and therefore lo avi chazaka, the lo chashash ze limchos. You know, if the machzik is not doing it the way we normally do it, to produce more than what he invested, then the marakama is not going to make a mechah. So let's just summarize basically what we've seen until now. I think we can more or less summarize it and then go on to the more exciting part of the shiur, that what, you know, our simple, maybe it's not so simple, but our conclusion really is that what is chazaka? Chazaka means that if the Marakama is really the owner, and he never in fact sold the field, why didn't he make a machah? How could he witness his field being exploited year after year for 3 years consecutively and say nothing? Apparently, he sold the field. So there is a strong claim here, a strong reason to support the claim of the Machzik that he bought the field, but that's only on the assumption, on the premise that the Machzik anticipated a Macha and he didn't hear a Macha. But if Lou Yitzur, if I come up with a case, and I think we have about six or seven cases here where there was no anticipation of a Macha, and we understand that the Marakama is not bothered and he's not irked enough to make a Macha for whatever reason, the Chazok is so different and so unusual, it's a Yotzei Dofen, that therefore the Marakama didn't feel compelled to make a Macha. So then the Shtika, the quietness, you know, the absence of a Macha proves absolutely nothing. The whole Chazaka, therefore, falls apart. Yeah?
The first three cases, you said the reason why he doesn't make a Macha is because he's not losing anything.
But, well, wait a minute. You know what, Yaakov, in each case it's slightly different.
You said that because he's not going to lose.
I wouldn't say so. What are the first three cases? You're talking about Arudi, yeah. And then you're talking about Arla?
Yeah.
And then what's the third case? Shachas?
Yeah.
Well, Shachas, again, you know, that's why I say you have to be very careful. Every case is a little bit different. In the case of Shachas, if I remember, the Rashbam doesn't mention that that the Marakama doesn't care because financially he's not losing anything, but rather it's an unusual kind of method of using the field, you know, to cut it down. After grows like one third of its growth, only a gazlan who goes in and out, you know, would do such a thing. So that's a little bit different.
So what's unusual about the first one then? About plowing, using the field that's at edge.
I can't tell you until I see the Ritva on this, which we're about to get to. But if you read the Rashbam, if it's outside the fence, then the Rashbam gives the impression the kol mashe zora bahu karka ru deachli le. Lo ichpas le limchos. Yeah, the Rashbam certainly makes a case here for the Marakama's laid-back attitude. You know, lo ichpas le limchos. What do I care? What difference does it make if the fruits or the grains will be eaten by animals or they'll be eaten by the machzik? I didn't suffer any great loss.
So if the machzik eats it, then it goes to the field. That's his great loss.
Oh, so wait, hold on to that point, Yaakov. That's going to be very important. Would the machzik himself be eating the field? So let's open up the Rambam. I don't know if you got a chance. It's the next source on your page. I like to, you know, if possible, read it from the Rambam, from the Rambam's own text. I usually give out these Maamar Kovos pages, meaning that the Talmidim should look up the original. The Rambam is in Perek Yud Beis. Does anybody know where the Rambam actually begins his discussion of Cheskas Gimel Shonim? In which Perek? Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph is a Perek that really sets the background, maybe we'll get a chance to look at it, to what Cheskas Gimel Shonim is all about. Perek Yud Beis, the Rambam moves on to more of the specifics about how the Chazaka is implemented. And here in Halacha Tezvav, he writes, Sadashi Mukefes Gader, Uba Zeshe Hichzigba, Vizara Chutzla Gader. Now here's my question to you. Who actually ate the fruits? Right? We have Ruvein the Machzik, who is planting and harvesting for 3 years. Who's eating the fruits?
The Machzik
for sure is eating the fruits. Otherwise, I would say, how does the Rambam know the Machzik was eating the fruit? Maybe the animals ate the fruit? I mean, it's, after all, there's a yard, there's a forest next door. You're all invited to come to my house in Har Nof. I mean, my house borders on Yar Yerushalayim. The best night of the year to come to my house is Lad Ba'Omer.
What's your address?
16 Scholzen. Make a note of it. You want my cell phone too?
No,
I'll give you that after shiur.
Just I've been to her.
Yeah, if you've been to Har Nof, there's a street called Nisim, and my house is on one side. Is, you know, if you're coming from the from the front, you'll go in through Shoals, and the other side is through Nisim. You can actually come into my house through either street. The side that's on Nisim borders on Yar Yerushalayim. And what happens is the children in the neighborhood for about like 3 months start collecting wood from Yar Yerushalayim in anticipation of Lag BaOmer. And on Lag BaOmer night, you will see B'li Guzma, about 10 different bonfires that reach up to Shalayim. I mean, it's higher than I can even see. Again, I think there are other ways of celebrating, of commemorating Lag BaOmer, but that's the way they do it in my neck of the woods. So you should come to Har Nof, sit on my porch, and enjoy the view. All right. So now the the field is on the border with the eye. So it makes sense that the animals might really eat this. But again, if the animals are eating the what's missing over here? If I start with the premise, and I'm going to prove to you the Rambam rejects this premise. But if I would start with the premise that the moxic is not eating the fruits, then
where's his chazaka?
Yeah, in Yiddish we say nidovas tzered. You know, there's not even a havamina. You know, what's to discuss here? So the Rambam points out v'nene b'chol makom she'eno shamur. No, even though this area is exposed, you know, to the yard, to the animals, nevertheless, nene, he's enjoying it. I don't think he's enjoying watching the animals eat. He's enjoying himself because he's cutting it down and eating it. I don't mean he has to eat it himself, but afal pish achlo, again, the language of the Rambam, achlo shana achar shana, lo also lo chazaka, shabailim tanim viomrim. The Rambam coins a new phrase here. A makom mufkar. Mufkar. When it's a makom mufkar, then there's no mecha. We don't anticipate a mecha. Again, even though, as far as the machzik is concerned, what did he implement? A full-fledged chazaka. I mean, he did the best he could in that place. But the Rambam's going to say he's going to need Edom or Shtar to prove that he bought that section outside the fence, because Chazaka just won't do it. If he doesn't have a shtar, he's in trouble. Why? The Bailin Tanim V'Yomer Kevan Shera'inu Shezorea B'Mokom Mufkar Omarnu Kol HaShezora Chayas HaSada Tochlema Is L'Fichach Lo Machisi. So what kind of does the Rambam put into the mouth of the Markama? What does Markama anticipate? If you make a chazak, you plant in a makom mufkar, who's going to eat it? Chayes hasadeh, correct? And in that case, it's a makom mufkar. Therefore, there's no chazak. So once again, from the machzik's perspective, he's doing what he has to do. And he's enjoying it, meaning he's got the anoa vachila. That's clear in the Rambam. But the Marakama is quiet for another reason, because he says, I saw him plant and harvest in a makom mufkar. What's a makom mufkar? Who do we anticipate is going to enjoy this? The animals. Good. That's okay. Then the Rambam is more or less consistent with the pattern that we've drawn here. But my problem is the Ritva. And the Ritva quotes his Rebbe. Maybe Thrawa, I don't know. Omer Mori Natchirchmanu Patre, and he has a deal. Me dinokai kol dezora. Now, if you're careful about reading the Gemara, is Rabbi Yudis talking about kol dezora? The taina of the Marakam is kol dezora. Aru di achlilin. What does that mean, kol dezora? Me dinokai kol dezora, velo nokai kol dezarana. What does zarana mean? Well, what should it have said? Kol dizarana. How many people saw this Ritva? And what did you see? Okay, we have at least a zimun here. So what did the Ritva expect? Kol dizarana, David?
Well, not
too complicated. I need something much simpler. Dizarana. What's zarana?
That I planted,
right. The Gemara should have said that what I plant goes to the animals. No, it doesn't say that. Sham'inon, Dafilu hayu abaylim zorimbo v'ochlim oso. Whoa, you can't get clearer than that. Here's a Rishon who goes on record as saying that the Bailim, without doubt, would have planted, harvested, and enjoyed the fruits. But, kol dezara, meaning, I lost a lot. The Bar Kama lost a lot. He could have enjoyed all these fruits. It might be a full strip there, you know, that goes along the Yar. Right? It's expansive. But nevertheless, even though the Bailim would have planted, would have harvested, would have eaten it, nevertheless, it's not a chazaka. And the Ritva, quoting his Rebbe, doesn't exactly tell us why it's not a chazaka. We have to now go back to the Gemara and somehow plug into the Gemara. Neymar, Omar, Kol Dezara, anyone... What does it mean, anyone who plants there? What does it mean, anyone who plants there? Is he referring to himself? When the Bible in the Marakama says, anyone who plants there, where does the food go? Can you help me out here? Who eats the food?
Animals.
The animals are going to eat the food. Yeah, but he himself is outside. He himself is not included in the klal. He's a yotzei klal. What would he do with that food? He would eat it. Is Memela, it comes out according to the Ritva, in the name of his Rebbe, that you can have a chazaka where the Marakama loses three years worth of produce that he would have enjoyed, and yet there's no what? There's no chazaka. And you know, if you add that to our diuk in the Rambam, there's something like really strange going on here. The machzik is enjoying his achila, because otherwise, what's the hava mean? If the machzik's not enjoying it, he's not benefiting by it, there's no achila, there's not a chazaka. That's square number one. But on top of that, to boot, what would the Baal and the Marakam himself have done with this karka? Brad, what would he have done?
He would have ate it.
He would have ate it, so, I mean, Marashak, I don't understand. Everything here fits into a wonderful pattern. Yeah, why is it not a chazaka? Again, the Ritva doesn't address the question, I have to admit to you, whether or not the machzik is eating the karka. He doesn't. But in pure theory, if you take the Rambam's premise and you add to it, you piggyback on it the Ritva's premise, the name of his Rebbe, and it's very hard to reject the Rambam in this case, because otherwise, pshita might come ashmolon. So, once I grant the Rambam's premise here that the machzik is enjoying the benefits, and to boot, you know, the Rebbe of, course, again, you can join them together if you like, and you don't have to, but if you join them together, then you come to a very strange conclusion. We've got here a chazaka which should generate an angry response on the part of the Marakama.
But the Marakama is still living, because if the animals would have eaten it, like, potentially, so whatever I get.
Maybe he doesn't know what's going on, in other words, or what?
He's looking at it as...
Nobody called him up or told him that the machzik is eating the fruits. All right, that could be.
If the animals don't eat it, then I'll take it. If not, then not. So here, somebody else took it, doesn't...
But it's a little bit strange, because in the classical scenario of chazaka, either the machzik didn't benefit from it, or the Marakama didn't lose from it. He didn't take a loss. He didn't suffer. This is a funny kind of thing. You know, your two conditions for setting up a chazaka, l'chor should be A plus B. It should be A, that the machzik enjoyed it. All right, shachas, he didn't enjoy it. You know, if it's a... Or B, that the, as you pointed out, Yaakov, before, the Marakama should be taking a loss. Maybe in the case of a karka ra, he didn't take a loss. In the case of a core base rover, he put in a base rover, he got a base rover, so he didn't benefit from it. In all these cases that we had, we can really justify the silence of the Marakama under one of two statements. Either we could say that the Marakama didn't make a macha because the Marakama didn't make a macha because the machzik is not really enjoying the benefits of this field, he's not exploiting the field. Or alternatively, even if the machzik is exploiting the field, but the Marakama wouldn't have exploited the field. But if you've got both A and B, you know, the machzik is benefiting from the karka, and the Marakama is losing from the chazaka of the machzik, then we should anticipate a mecha. By the way, notice that the Ritva doesn't claim that lo havile limchos. You know, there's nothing in the Ritva that says that he shouldn't have made a mecha. I don't know, that's a little bit odd. You know, we've seen a pattern here that repeated itself, I don't know how many times, that the Rishonim always say, why are these unusual chazokas not valid? Because the Marakama, for reasons X, Y, and Z, didn't have to make a mecha. Here, okay, maybe the Ritva was in a, you know, he was in a mood for abridgment, you know, but he didn't actually spell out why the Marakama did not have to make a mecha. We don't anticipate that he should make a mecha. But Rabosai, if I can have your attention just for another minute, because this is the punchline of the shiur. I mean, take a look at the Rush and the Hafla's elucidation of the Rush. The Rush is focused on the case of Arla. First he starts with our case, the Reisha of Rabbi Yehuda, and he says, Haiman di Aksik Agudo di Arudi Lulabar Lo Avi Chasok Me Maromar Kol Mai Dizara Arudi Achliwe. Then he goes on to quote the Sefer of Rabbi Yehuda. And what does Rabbi Yehuda say now? Achla Arla Harezu Chazok of Hushanene Bechavile Zmoros. Okay, the Rush is trying to work out how the Chazaka could be established in Arla according to that Girsa, that's Rabbi Nechananel's Girsa, that there is a Chazak in Arla. And he has Chavile Zmoros. There's no Easter Arla in the Zmora. Avol says, now watch this. Avolim ochal aperos lo avi chazok. Now close your eyes for a moment, play this game with me. If the machzik ate arla, there is no chazoka. Who can finish up the rush and tell me why there's no chazok when you eat arla without looking inside the text? I mean, this is a pedagogic skill that I learned from myself, I guess. I mean, yeah.
Because there's no reason to make a macha.
Why isn't he going to make a macha?
Because he can't benefit.
Correct. He doesn't lose anything. Ribbono Shalom, what have you taken from me? You take it from the Arla. Shkoyach. I mean, you save me the tircha of burning the Arla. Well, okay, maybe I enjoy burning Arla, but look what the Rush says. Take a look at his language. He says, that's a phrase that we saw once before in the Rashbam. But where's the emphasis here? And what underlines the chazak and validates it? I mean, that's a little bit sophisticated, but who needs it? What presses the rush? Yeah, I understand who achal dvar isur. But it's almost as if the rush is pointing to the machzik and saying that you are a no good bum for violating the Isur Arla, and we're going to give you a malchus for every single kizayis of Arla that you ate, and therefore we're going to rob you of your chazak. What does that have to do with anything? I mean, simply the old well trodden path that we've taken until now, namely that the machzik has not caused any hefsay to the Marakama, because what's the Marakama going to do with Arla? That's what the Rush should have said. Who picks up on this? Dafla. Rabbeisai, listen carefully, this hafla. It's a hafla of a felidic hafla. Says the hafla, the problem that the Rush is facing is that we're dealing not with just with Arla, but also with what? With Kelayim. Whoa, look how a Lamdan puts on his thinking cap. You know, people think you could be a Pesach without knowing Lamdas. It's ridiculous. If you're not a Lamdan, don't bother. Look at that floor. Beautiful floor. If you haven't noticed it, I'm very excited about this floor. Did you notice that? Then I'm excited about this floor. Okay. I didn't rip my tie off, but you know, like Bikelayim, the Efshal of Farish came, Mishumdalo Ichpasle, Ulakachlo Micha. Why not say that the Marakama didn't make a mecha because lo ichpasle, the classical lo ichpasle, and therefore he didn't make a mecha? What does the Marakama care about Kalayim? What do we do with Kalayim? In Canada, what do we do with Kalayim? We burn them, right? Even in Canada. There it warms you up a little. But okay, I don't know if you have a lot. The question is when you're allowed to have hanbo. This would be a real Canadian shiloh. At what point are you allowed to get benefit from the warmth of burning kelayim? That's a sugya in Pesachim and in Beitzah. You know, okay, we can have fun with that. Kelayim is all over the world. Yeah. And Arla and Chutzlitz is only Halacha Moshe Misina. But you get Malkus Derabbanan, Malkus Mardus. It's not pleasant. I mean, it's a little less than Malkus Doraisa, you know. But, you know, I'm getting hot under the collar just thinking about it. So what does the Hafla say? Devadai Havi Le Limchos. Could you please underline those words? Devadai Havi Le Limchos. Why? Why should the Baila make a Macha when Yenev is eating my kelayim? Shkoyach for eating my kelayim. I mean, we'll give you Malkus for, but Shkoyach. Deha heterahu lebailim. Zaktafla, the Marakama should have made a macha. Why should he have made a macha? Because he's losing. What's he losing? Kelayim. What's he going to do, kelayim? He's going to eat the kelayim. Why is he going to eat the kelayim? Hey, teiru lebailim to masnisa mefureshes bekalayim perik zayim mishnah vav haana shazara. The famous mishnah kalayim ain on the moser davar sheino shalom. In other words, if you confiscate my field and go down and you plant kalayim, so there's no easter kalayim for the bailim because ain on the moser davar sheino shalom. Now kalayim is not a mitzius. You may have seen that already at the beginning of Bav Basra. Kelayim is not just a biological situation, but Kelayim is a Chal Shem Yisur. Says that flow, we have something fascinating going on over here. From the perspective of the Marakama, you saw that flow? No, it's a beautiful flow. It was Kedai to come to the Shia just to hear that flow. That flow says that from the perspective of the Marakama, there's a Hefseid. Why is there a Hefseid? Because Eino no Oseh Dov Shein Shalom, from his perspective, it's not Kalayim. Correct? However, let's now analyze the position of the Machzik. From his perspective, is it Kalayim?
Yeah.
Why? I Eino no Oseh Dov Shein Shalom. It is. He's claiming that he bought it. So he's claiming it's his own field. The Shavya Nafsher. I mean, according to his own argument, he's the Bailim over the field. It's therefore the Kalayim or Aser. Nimtza, shim yotzi mimenu yochol lechla peros. It comes out now that if the Marakama will succeed in uprooting the machzik from the karka, he, the Marakama, will enjoy the peros. And therefore he should make what? Again, going back to those words I told you to underline, he should make a macha. So now what does that fly have to address? What question? What do we say about Kalayim? We're saying that he doesn't have a chazaka. Why isn't there a chazaka? I mean, again, the macha should have been made. Why wasn't the macha forthcoming? And the hafla puts nails in it. He says he should have made a macha. But even though he should have made a macha, there's no chazaka. Why not? El al karchav sheina chazaka mishum de lefi divrei hamachzik shasad shelo. Hare nesru b'kalayim. V'lo achal k'derech ochlim. B'nei shalil. What is this? Mitzvah bar b'aveira here? I can't begin to understand that flaw. Everything was beautiful. Till he gets to the punchline. Then I lost him. Okay, so the machzik wasn't exactly a legitimate guy. He wasn't on the up and up. He violated Iser k'layim. So we don't want him to benefit shelo yechotei niskar, so we invalidate his chazaka. Very fine. Mitzvah baba veira. What mitzvah? There's no mitzvah here. He's just trying to prove that he owns the field. Yeah, what do you mean? You bought the field. Where's your shtar? Oh, I don't have a shtar? That's because I didn't hear a macha. And the Marakam should have made a macha. Because for him it's not kelayim. Isn't the what's that floor talking about here? The Pella, this is, as I told you, it's an Afla de Capella. But it makes no sense. I mean, to penalize him because he violated Issa Kalayim, because Litamech, according to your claim, it's a Machzik, you're eating Kalayim Issur. Yeah, so let me ask you a question. Supposing I am a Machzik, let's call Ruven's a Machzik on Shimon's Karka, and he takes a neder not to benefit from the fruits. So therefore, if he eats 3 years, and it's no chazaka, it's ridiculous. And the plot goes thicker, Rabos. Like, take a look at the Ritva on the sugya of Apikura. If you recall, Rabbi Yehuda made two statements in one breath. First, he spoke about Tafticha, which is a field that doesn't have the capacity to really produce. And then he spoke about some guy who was not, we call him a Lo Yutzlachnik, and the Machzik wasn't very successful. He did not produce more than what he, than his input. Pirish Mori, not Shachman Apatre, Kishalo Hoysa Gamke Motzil Abailim Yoser, that this second case is also a case where the Bailim would not have benefited from this field. It's not that the Machzik is a Shlamazel, it's there's something in the character that's inherently deficient. V'li Nira, look at that, the Ritva is disagreeing with his Rebbe, that's unusual. Shafilu Hoysa Mishubachas, or Mishabachas Levailim Yoser, even though the Bailim themselves would have produced more, but Kavan Shehoya Roe Shein Zenene, once he realized the Marakama that the Machzik is not benefiting, Lochosh Limchos Velishna Dayakoki Midlokomar Mate Kuro Me'ail. In other words, the Ritva is bothered. What did Rabbi Yehuda add in the second case that we wouldn't have derived from the first case? In the first case, the field wasn't producing. Says the Ritva, even in the second case, if you tell me it wasn't producing in anything, he says, no. In the second case, it's the Machzik who messed up over here. The Marakama would have actually enjoyed the benefit of it. Once again, if the Machzik would have enjoyed the benefit of it, then why shouldn't he make a Macha? And now we have a new consistency. We leave out that whole piece. Hey, the Machzik, the Marakama, didn't make a Macha for reasons X, Y, and Z. We didn't anticipate a Macha. If the Marakama could have exploited this character and done better, as a result of the Chazak of the Machzik, the Marakama suffers a loss. So he should have made a Macha. And nowhere does the Ritva say, no, he didn't have to make a Macha. We don't anticipate a Macha. He leaves that all out. You know, we might add the Haflaw's language here to the Ritva, if you pardon my poetic license here. Devadei havilei limchos, because he's suffering a loss, he could have enjoyed the benefits of that karka. It's a perfectly good karka, but nevertheless, it's not called achal kiderech ha'ochlim. It's not the classical way, because he didn't actually justify the expenditure, and there was no shva. The Bach in Choshen Mishpat expands upon this. He says, "V'im tomar hainu apikura v'ayel kura v'tarti lomel yesh lomar the apikura mayri da'aretzi tova." The second case is a perfectly good land. It's not arid land. Urigila lahotzi harbe el di'achshav lohotzia el kidei azara v'ikul meimer da'hasam. In the first case, it's not a chazok. Came below nenami asode v'derech hanosa. Avol tfiach shekach v'derech hanosa avni David. Just 1 second. Avol b'sode tova derigil. This is the part I wanted to get to. The derigilim lahotzi mivena harbe el da'achshav hukchisha. Hav aminu midalo micha havi chazoki. He should have made a macha. Again, but the Bach doesn't tell me, so why is the Chazaka valid? And the plaque goes thicker, because the Shita Mekubetzes on Daf Chav Tes, in the case of Beis Rova, you remember that he planted a field and enjoyed the benefits, but he left out of Beis Rova. So the Shita quotes one opinion, that it's Dafka Beis Rova. It's an enormous amount of character, substantial amount of character that he left outside. Avol Pachas Mikan Lo Chashu Bekonile Agav Arvalididi. Lo mistavra, el afilu koldu, lo kani im lo achlo. What do you mean koldu? I don't get it. What is the Marakama? What is the Marakama? He's not going to make a macha here because the guy left out a koldu. How does the Marakama know that the Machzik failed to plant and harvest the koldu. So from the Merkava's perspective, there should have been what? There should have been a mecha.
The Marikama, I guess if the Marikama wants to make him pay on something, I mean, it's not, the Marikama knows how to tie the well, then
maybe he would have known that the guy didn't make a chazaka there, but I don't know, it's a koldu. You imagine this, a gigantic field, you know, it's acres and acres, and he left out a koldu somewhere in the middle of this field. You know, what's he flying on in a helicopter? How does he know that the machzik left out this koldu? Yeah, it's a base rova, nicha, but a koldu. And then we get to the sugi that you mentioned earlier about Layla. That's back on the Chavtes, Omar Avuna, Shalosh Shanim Shahamru. Here I want to point out to the Irian Rabbeinu Yonah, who Shachlan Ritzufos. So the Gemara here goes through a whole business. The Gemara says, "Habatim to Rabbi Yomi Yadi v'Laylo Yadi." How do the Eidim know that he lives in the house at night? Most people, when do they live in the house? At night. Night goes, it's Harai, you can't find a parking spot at night. Everybody comes home at night, you can't. So the answer is that you have to have Eidim to prove that the Machzik was living there at night. How do we conjure up Eidim that saw the Machzik living there at night? How do we get a Cheskes Habatim? Omer Abaye. Abai says Shivive, and Rava says that he rented out the house, and the renters can testify. And the whole pilpul in the Gemara can renters testify or not. Omar Bar Zutra, now there's a postscript to this sugya. The Itan, the Omar Lesi, Lesu, Trey, Sadi, Lasudile, the Darbe, Tlas, Shani, Biyamama, Uvil Leila, Tanase, Taine. Like the Shivave, the neighbors know that he comes in and out, but they can't necessarily testify on every single day and every single night for 3 years consecutively. So Marzucha says that if the Marakama claims that the reason why he didn't make a Mecha is for this reason, or alternatively, if he says, Mr. Machzik, would bring me Adam that you lived there day and night for 3 full years, that's a good taina. And maybe we won't be able to rely on Shivaveh. So Rabosai, how does Marzutra relate to Rav Huna? We started the sugi with Rav Huna. Rav Huna says that Shalosh Shanim is Ritzufos. And now Marzutra says that we're going to need Eidim Yomam V'Laila. And why do we need Eidim Yomam V'Laila? So the Meiri says the following. He says, Iker Advarim Bo, it's the machzik made his chazok, and the Marakama comes along and he makes an irur after 3 years. V'toein ze shnei chazok, and the machzik says I was there for 3 years. Avi edim shedar b'shol shon v'tzufos harezu chazoka. V'ein bezdin tarnim lo lahavi ede yom v'layla. Good. So there's no tainina. There's no tainina. Why should we suspect? And not only that, the Marakama doesn't say anything. So what do we have to? We have to get into the mindset of the Marakama. If he wants to claim that there was the Machzik wasn't there at night, he's got to come forward with that claim. He has rights to do so. But we're not going to do it on his behalf. Now look at this. Vizehu das Marzutra. Ukeneged Rav Huna. The Meiri establishes a machlokes between Marzutra and Rav Huna. So it means that according to Rav Huna, who shachlan ritzufas, means you need Eidim on Yomam V'Laila. Even if the Marakama doesn't say a word. And I don't get it. If the Marakama doesn't say a word, then he admits that in his mind, the Machzik was there for 3 years Yom V'Laila. Bishlam, if the Marakama comes forward, he claims, I came at night and he wasn't there. You remember we saw that in the Rabbeinu Gershom Nicha. But now, according to Meiri, Rav Huna says, even if the Marakama doesn't make that claim, nevertheless, we're going to demand Eidus Yoma V'Laila. Rabbeinu Yonah, when he paskins this sugya, he doesn't mention neither Rav Huna nor Marzutra. And he says the following. U'le'inim cheskes habatim tzorech sheyachzik bohem gimel shanim v'yomu V'Laila. Heidu ha'edim shera'u darsham v'yamim gimel shanim v'lo heidu ala leilos eina chazaka. What kind of edus do we require to establish chazaka? Edus on yom of v'layla for 3 full years. Shema b'leilos lo ha'yotze v'sham. What's missing here in Rabbeinu Yonah? No, when you say Tainina, what do you mean? The Taina of?
No,
Rabosai. I'm saying the exact opposite of what you're saying. What I'm saying is the Taina of Arkam is missing. The Rabbeinu Yonah presents this sugya as a fait accompli. You know, without conditions, without any strings attached, the Eidim, in order to establish Chazaka, have to testify in 3 years, Yomam, Velayla, without exception. Where's the Markham in the picture? You know, you get the impression, and in the light of the Meiri, it might be that he's passing like Rav Huda against Bar Sutra, that even if the Markham has no claim as far as Lila is concerned, nevertheless, the Machzik has to prove Lila. What's the obvious question on this?
Wait. I think the Rashbam also is saying like the Meiri.
Okay, good. That even strengthens my question. But what question should we ask, Rabbi Osai? The Markama didn't say, I came at night and I didn't find him. The Markama didn't say, I demand Edim on Yom V'Layla. Well, what does therefore that mean? What is the Markama's mindset here? What does he anticipate? What did he understand if he didn't make that claim?
They sold it, or he's not making a mahal.
No, but I'm asking. If in the first case, the Marakama says, I came at night and I didn't find him there. Nicha. So we need Edim that he was there at night. But according to Rav Huna, the way the Miri has it, the way Rabbeinu Yonah has it, and maybe even the Rashbam, the Marakama says nothing. What should we therefore assume?
It's like he's masking that the person was there at night.
No, so therefore, what should he have? If he's implying a Hodas Malbin.
It should be a Hodas.
Because why?
He
should have made a macha. Why didn't the Marakama make a macha? Israel Bosai, let's just summarize what we've said until now. On the one hand, we have a great deal of evidence in a repetitive pattern in the Rishonim that the reason why all these chazakos are disqualified is because the Marakama didn't make a macha. We don't anticipate that he should have made a macha. And in every case, lo havi le limchos. But then we go through sugya after sugya, and we pile up evidence on the other side of the scale, that's almost equally balanced here, that even if the Marakama is taking a loss, and in the Marakama's mind, he should have made a macha, nevertheless, the chazaka is not valid. And the question is, why not? Once we've proven from the shtick of the Marakama in all these situations that he doesn't have a claim, because if he did have a claim, he should have made a macha and he didn't, then why should the chazak of Gimel Shanim of the Maxim be completely invalidated? Mr. Apostle, what do you see from this? And this came to me as a radical conclusion. I say this because I think, for those of you who are learning the third parak, and this could be a good introduction, it gives you the basis, you know, the foundations of the third parak. What do you see from this, Rav Ozan? Anybody? Just, I think the mathematical conclusion is very, very clear. Nobody wants to. I promise I won't. I didn't bring my hatchet or anything, you know. Well, I won't kill anybody. What do you see from this, Rabosa? One thing you see is incorrect. It's incorrect to equate Cheskas Gimel Shonim with Shtikas Marakam. I mean, again, I like to use that flaw as the outstanding model for this. The flaw says, in the case of Kilayim, the Marakama should have made a Macha, and he didn't. So you see that Cheskas Gimel Shonim because it's undermined in the case of Kalayim does not mean Shtikas Marakama. There must be, in addition to Shtikas Marakama, another condition in Chazaka. There's another requirement in Chazaka. Chazaka basically is predicated on two different dimensions, two different dinim, two different conditions. Number one, we need a Maisa Chazok. Number two, we need a Rayas Chazok. The first premise, the first principle is that the halacha requires the machzik to make a chazaka. And that Maisa Chazok is a halachic entity. And it's going to be established and fixed by the halacha. The halacha will determine what are the rules and regulations, what are the conditions that have to be met in order to establish a Maisa Chazaka. Then, and only then, once you've established a Maisa Chazaka, then we can go on to stage two. In order to validate this Chazaka, we need the Rayas Chazaka. The Rayas Chazaka is generated by the Shtika of the Marakama. If this be the case, Rabotai, let's just go through all the sugyas, one by one. All the questions that we asked. Number one, we have the case of the Ritva. There's a piece of the field that's outside the fence. So the Ritva says, and what would the Bailam have done with that piece of the field? In the name of his Rebbe, what does he say? They would have enjoyed it. So we ask, so then there's a hefsed here. Why didn't the Marakam make a mecha? Good question. But the answer is, and this is what the Rambam was machadish about a makom meshumar, that although in Hilchas Rayas Chazaka and in Hilchas Shtikas Marakama, in this case of Arude Labar, there is a Rayas Chazaka, and the Marakama should have made a macha, but nevertheless there is no Chazaka. Why not? Because there's no Maisa Chazaka. In order to generate a Maisa Chazaka al Pidin, you need a makom that's Roy and Omid Lachila. If the makom is Eina Meshumar, then it's Mufka from a Maisa Chazaka. Number two, the Rush says that in the case of Kilayim, there is no Chazaka. Why is there no Chazaka? Is there anything deficient about the Rayas Chazaka? The Afla says very beautifully, the Marakam is suffering a loss. It's not Kilayim for him. Ain't on the Moser. But what's the answer? That if the Sadeh is Kilayim, it's Mufka for a Maisa Chazaka. Number three, the Bach says that Apikura, and this is a Gvaldik Chiddush, he says that even though it's not like Tefichta, the first case, where the Sadeh is Eina Ru'uya Lahotzi Peros, but rather it's a perfectly good field, but there's another Tnai in the Maisa Chazaka. The Maisa Chazaka Al Pidin is not just determined by the nature of the Sadeh, but it's also determined by the manner in which the Machzik implemented his Chazaka. And if he implements his Chazaka with a zero revach, what's it called in English? A zero gain, that's not a Maisa Chazaka. Maisa Chazaka requires a gain. And now we understand the Shita Mekubetzes. The Shita Mekubetzes says that even if there's a piece that's koldu, there's no chazaka because he left that a koldu. So we ask the question, okay, if it's a base rova, so the machzik was not the markam was not moved to make a macha because the machzik is not enjoying the base rova. But if it's a koldu, why didn't the machzik make a macha? Unless you assume that he's flying in a, you know, he's using a microscope, you know, a magnifying glass, and he knows, and not a magnifying glass, when you look at the stars, what's it called?
A telescope.
A telescope, you know, and you notice that there's a little, you know, a 2x2 meter thing over there. The answer is that it's a deficiency in the Maisa Chazaka. That's what the Shita Mekubetzes wants to tell us, that if there's a koldu in which the Machzik did not implement this Chazaka, then it's lacking in a Maisa Chazaka. And finally, we understand the Shita Samiri and Rabbeinu Yonah, that the Eidim have to testify on Yom HaValayla. So we ask the question, why did the Machzik claim, I came at night, I didn't find him there, lo and behold, he wasn't there, and that's why I didn't make a Mecha? The answer is, if the Marakama didn't make that claim, apparently he assumed, and he had no reason to assume otherwise, that the Machzik was there Yom HaLayla. Why didn't you make a Mecha? No, there's no Chazaka. We need Eidim on every day and every night for 3 full years. Why? That's halacha, Maisa Chazaka. The Maisa Chazaka has to be Yom HaLayla for 3 years. If this be the case on both sides, and here's where I want to end the shiur on this sugya of Shchuni Gavoy. Take a look, if you have on page 2 Yomar Mekoymus, it's a sugya on Chavtesam Beis. called Shchuni Gavoy. There are many different Rishonim on this sugya. We're going to go according to the Rashbam. Ahud Yomalei Lechavrei, my boys Bahai Besa. What are you doing in this house? Amalei Minoch Zvintai. Bought it from the Achlusay Shnei Chazaka. I've been living here for 3 years. I didn't hear any macha. Amalei, the Marakama says, I know b'shchuni gavoy hava. Says the Rashbam, bechadorim apnimiyim. I was living upstairs or downstairs or wherever it was, the inner chambers. How did I get out of the house to the street? I went through your house. And therefore, mishtamish imcho ve-beis hachitzon. You weren't using the beis hachitzon exclusively. The answer is that I never sold it to you. I invited you to use my house, but you're no goodnik and you're a kafri tov and you decided to claim it's yours. But I didn't make a mecha because I was using it with you. So the case came in front of Rav Nachman Amalei Zil Bror Achilascha. Rashbam says, Amalei Lamachzik Zil Bror Achilascha. Havei Eidim Shedarto Bebais Levadcha Gimel Shonim. Below Oso Shebaimcha Ledin. Kol Cheskes Yom. You have to prove. So Kleid Rav Nachman, burden of the proof to establish this Chazaka is on whom? On the Machzik. Amalei Rava, so Rava said to him, Hachi Dina? Is that really what the din is? Hamotzi Mechavero, all of Haraya. The Chazok is valid. So the Ramban here, and this is the bottom of your page 2, asks two kashas. And based on these two kashas, he rejects the Rashbam. And he offers a different shot in the sugi, which is not for us today. The first kasha is, Lo Nirali says, on the second line, Ibnei Adin, Shadin no saying, it makes logical sense, Lo Yafsid Cheskoso Bishvil Kach. Why should the Machzik lose his Chazaka? V'chi'enot of Asli Limkar Beis Hachitzon? Isn't it logical, isn't it probable and likely that maybe a person sold the Beis Hachitzon? U'mishayr li'atzman ha'pnimi v'derech. He does a shear in the kidney, leaving for himself the inner chamber plus an exit through which he goes out to the street. So basically the Ramban is asking, I don't understand what Rav Nachman wants is zil bror achiloscha. What do you mean zil bror achiloscha? He has a perfectly good chazaka on the cheder achitzoni, on shchuni gavoy. Why does he have to go beyond that? The chazaka is valid. The ode, and now the second kash, the Ramban, he flips his kash around. And he asks the kash according to Rashbam on Rava. The Odin came my time of the Rava. Apparently the answer between the first question and the second question is that's very unusual for a person to leave himself an exit, you know, through someone else's property. Maybe he has another door on the outside, or maybe this whole claim on the part of the Machzik that you sold me the Cheder Achitzoni with leaving a derech, that's a very, you know, it's not a non-sadi, but it's a mistama, we'll call it, right? The Ode, but furthermore, If the Machzik's claim is so weak and came my time into Rava, so why does Rava say Amotzim Chaver Leia? Follow calls Manch Lo Hevi Raya Shedar Levado Lo Hevi Evi Chazaka Shein Chazaka Levi Shedarim Habaylim. So the Ramban's second question is a very strong question. He raises the objection against the Rashbam. How could Rava defend the Chazaka when the Chazaka hasn't been established yet? If he's not living alone, but rather he's living with the Marakama, that's not a Chazaka. So therefore Rav Nachman should be right. Again, if you assume we've answered the Ramban's first question, Zil Bror Achiloscha. So I was thinking, in the light of what we said, maybe we can come up with an explanation for the Machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rava and defend the Rashbam against the Ramban. There are two dimensions to Cheskas Gimel Shon. In order to establish Chazaka, you need a Maisa Chazaka, and that gives you a certain level of mukzakus. And number two, you need a rayas chazaka. And the rayas chazaka undermines the mukzakus of the barakama. So Rava's shita is that in this case, that he has Edom to testify that he's been living in the cheder chitzoni, that he's been living there for 3 years, he has a maisa chazaka. comes along the Barakam and he says, but wait a minute, you don't have a Rayas Chazaka. The reason I didn't make a Macha is because I too was living there. I used your area on the, in the Chitzoni as a derech to get out to the Rishus HaRab. So if the Machzik denies that, we have a question about the Rayas Chazaka. Comes along Rava and he says the following, that even though now the Rayas Chazok is in question, but since the Maisa Chazok is well established by the Edim, therefore the Machzik, insofar as he's a Muchzok, has a right to say to the Marakama, Hamotzi Michavel of a Raya. If you want to establish some new fact to undermine my Chazoka, then the burden of proof is on you. Bishlam, in the case of the Me'iri and Rabbeinu Yonah, where the issue was, did he live there at night? Well, since the Eidim don't testify at night, we don't really have a Maisa Chazaka to begin with. But here, in this case of Rava, in Shchuri Gavoy, according to Rashbam, he has lived in the Cheder Chitzoni. Comes along to our Kav and he says, but I too was there, and therefore he wants to undermine his Chazaka. At least the Eidim testified in a Maisa Chazaka. Once the Eidim testified in a Maisa Chazaka, if now you have issues about the Rayas Chazaka, then if the Marakam is coming to initiate some sort of claim to undermine the Chazaka, the burden of proof is on him. Hamotzi Mechavero, all of our right. I want to thank everyone for coming to the Shia and wish you all a great deal of